But if we love God, we have to be born again. The name of this morning's sermon is Regeneration Springs from Death. Regeneration springs from death. We had been looking at Zephaniah over a course of time about saying, seek God. Seek God and there'll be a restoration. That God would change us and change the entire being. That we would be a new person in Christ Jesus. We looked last weekend at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got changed. But was it the type change that we've been talking about? New generation, that he was regenerated. Was he regenerated, or did he get a touch of what regeneration is about? Because we see he wasn't born of the Spirit at that time. God sometimes gradually works on us. The Spirit, when regeneration comes, it's an initial process, we said, when the Spirit births you into the kingdom of God. It births you into the body of Christ. It giveth you life. So, as looking at that definition, we would have to say that regeneration doesn't necessarily come first. That faith comes first. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, I think, has to come first. And we've been studying regeneration or whatever. But if you look at it, that gospel message has to be central in all our lives. Or else we wouldn't know what to do when we were regenerated. We wouldn't know what to do because regeneration is a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's one that comes about and follows the Lord. Follow after God. And he's in Christ Jesus. Now the scripture text this morning comes from the book of Mark. Comes from the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, 22nd through the 24th verse, I think it is. Let's read all the way to the 26th verse. It says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch the blind man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? Can you see anything now? And when he said that, he said, can you see anything now? And Jesus asked him, and the man couldn't quite see clear at that time. He couldn't see what Jesus had going or what he had did. And I might need that at this time to tell you about the spittle of the firstborn child. It was believed among some people that the saliva from the firstborn had a healing effect. It had some kind of medicinal effect. So that's a little bit of what's going on in here by him spitting on this man's eyes and making a spittle. We see that in chapter 7 also. So that was something that was kind of believed among the Jews, that the firstborn would have healing powers in his saliva or whatever. But we see that when he did this, he said, can you see anything now? And the man looked around and he said, yes, I can see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Now, a lot of people say, is this the first time Jesus worked a miracle and it looked like it might not be working as well? You know, they say, I can see, but it's dim. You know, the people look like trees or whatever. It says, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes was open, and his sight was completely restored. And he could see everything clearly at that time. Jesus sent him away saying, well, don't go back into the village on your way home. Don't go back into the city around those people at that time. What's going on here? What is going on with this episode? We see where Jesus worked a miracle. It didn't look like it didn't work at first. It didn't catch at first. And then after he does this, he tells him not to go back in the village before going home, before going to the city. First of all, we see where the man's friends had brought him to Jesus. It wasn't that the man was like Bartimaeus or anything, pleading and he coming to Jesus. But his friends brought him to Jesus. Can somebody bring us to the Lord? You see, that's the problem. I don't see a hunger here where he was desiring within himself of something from Jesus. His friends brought him there. You know, a lot of times our parents used to force us to go to church or whatever. When somebody has to ask you to do something, that you're lacking a desire. You're lacking something that somebody may be giving you something later on. You say, well, I didn't want it. You gave it to me. Now you offered it to me or whatever. But if you're hungering and thirsting after this, you'll try to go after it or try to achieve it. But then when he worked this miracle with him, it seemed like it didn't work. So the man was full of unbelief, I guess, and doubt. He was soaked. He was one that really wasn't after Jesus. It's a lot of people this morning. It's a lot of people today. It's a lot of people that go to church, but they're really not looking for Jesus. They're looking for what they can get out of it. How many countless people are in churches not loving God, not loving their fellow man, but they are out there for self-centered purposes? Greed? What's in it for me? All he wanted to do was see. That's all he wanted. It doesn't say anything about him hearing of the gospel or anything about the gospel. And we know that when Jesus sent his disciples out, he said, go ye into all nations and teach the gospel. Teach the gospel. And preach the gospel. Teaching and preaching is different now. I started to do a little teaching this morning because we missed Wednesday night because of the weather. It got kind of fairly clear. We can't predict the weather that good. The weathermen do a fairly good job. But preaching is necessary also. See, that's what Ezekiel did to the dry bones. Was he spoke to them, he preached to them. And that's when God put life into those bones. You see, but they had to necessarily have to know what was required of them. If you go on a job or get ready to go on a job or whatever, they give you a job description of what is expected of you and what you should be doing. Unless it's on the job training, you need to know what to do before you get on the job. That's why many of your job asks for experienced workers. That's how the kingdom of heaven is working now. He's looking for prepared people. Heaven is for prepared people. It's a prepared place, and it's for prepared people. A people that had gotten ready to go. That's why it says, be ye ready. Be ye ready. In other words, you done hungered. You done did everything you can to clean yourself up so that when the bridegroom come, you won't be without a spot or a wrinkle. You can't just come to church and just live your life for yourself and never pull off the old man. There must be a death, huh? Yes. That's what he said in the book of John. I will read in scripture, it says, we need to take the pattern after him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. You have to die to self. You have to die to this world. And see, that's the problem with a lot of people. They want the world, and they want to come into the church and get easy access to the world. In other words, that's the social, or that's the way to be somebody. Not realizing that coming into the church, coming into the body of Christ, is dying and hating the world and the things of the world. You have to, look, count the cost before you join the church. You count the cost before you follow after. He says, before you do this, you first count the cost. You might have to, he says, you have to lose your life. So if you want to get rich, if you want the things of the world and everything, you might not want to follow Jesus. Now see, if I'm not saying that wealthy people are not following Jesus, but if that's your sole desire, that's what you're after, you're going into the wrong thing. But see, Jesus is not going to choose you then. You're not going to be chosen. There are a lot of people in this Bible in which he healed, he worked miracles, and he did good things, but they was going to miss the kingdom of heaven. But he said the men of Sodom and Gomorrah was going to raise up and judge them because they repented at the preaching of Jonah in Nineveh. Nineveh's going to convict a lot of people because the churches nowadays are not preaching to the people that they have to die to self, that they have to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. In other words, you can't come to God and drag the world along with you and drag it into the church. You have to be willing to die. You have to be willing to suffer to earn in here. And see, the churches are not preaching and teaching that. How can you be brought to a new life, regenerated, if there's no death? It's the title of our message. Regeneration springs from a death. If Christ didn't die, we would have still been dead in our sins. Now listen at this now. Even though he died, the resurrection is where we get life. Because God rose him up, and that thus comes our justification, because he had paid the cost for our sins. And now, just like he finished the course, all we have to do is walk therein. But we must die as he died. Die to the world. That's the identification baptism has with this. Is that baptism is a public identification that you were buried with Christ. In other words, you have to leave the old man behind. The old desires, the old thing. In other words, you have to pull the old man off and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after him. That requires a death. That requires that you know what the stipulations are by God's word, what you shouldn't be doing and what you should be doing. That's why he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. You see, I have to preach the word to you, and as that word goes home to your heart, he says, how can they hear without a preacher? You can't hear. So if I preach the word comes to you, faith coming by hearing. When you start having faith in that word of God, that's the seed that comes home to your heart. That's what's planted in your heart. That's what's to grow. Yes. Now, there's to take a lot of, I don't know if any of y'all farmers or gardeners, but when you plant a seed, you can't just walk away from that seed. You will have to nurture that seed. You will have to water it. You will have to make sure it gets the proper weather and everything. You will have to go back sometime and rake around it, hoe around it, and tend to the soil, as you say, dig up your fallow ground. See, you have to keep weeds and things from growing around it. Well, that's your life. In other words, the word of God is planted in your life. He says, a sower sowed that seed. He sowed some on shallow ground. He sowed some on thorny ground. He sowed some among the rocks, but some on fertile ground, in fertile soil. See, a lot of us allowing the cares of this life to come in and choke the word of God out of us. Yes, that's why he told this man, don't go back into the city. See, because a lot of times when you go to church and it tells you about that bird in the air taking the word, snatching that word away from you, you go back home or you go different places and you tell somebody what you've heard or what the preaching or what your church is about, But you're not anchored or rooted, and you're just not hearing that. You don't have, how can I say it? Your faith hadn't been developed in that. You like this man, you may have doubts, and somebody can talk that out of you. It'll cause you to doubt God's word. It'll cause you to doubt whether you believe or not. It'll cause you to doubt and have unbelief in you. And you'll start looking at the church and looking around. Instead of you going home, meditating on that word, studying that word, praying to God. And stop letting everybody know what's going on. Don't be like our leader. Don't talk so much. You have to let that thing ruminate in you. You have to say, meditate on the word day and night. Sometimes the right hand can't let the left hand know what it's doing. Or it'll snatch it out of there. Your own relatives, he told Abraham, Abraham, get away from around your relatives. See, it's going to be a division during these last days where your children may leave your religion. Or you may not follow your children, or you may not follow that old Baptist line or whatever church or whatever thing, because you see something in that wrong. God's pouring his spirit out on you to be a trailblazer, to go your way. And they say, oh, Lord, child, he's changing. The whole family's been Baptist for 40 or 50 years. All our life, all of us have been in there. But now she walks a different way, or he walks a different way. Or that child is called radical because they're walking different. That's because God is creating something in them. He's developing faith in them. Don't be afraid to walk and save yourself from this generation. You don't need a whole lot of people around you pushing you and friends and things. All you need is Jesus. He'll send the right friends to you. But if you need some accolades, you need somebody always to praise you, always to tell you this and tell you that. The devil's going to send people to do that, but that's going to be the broad way. They're going to tell you the wrong thing. They're going to tell you fleshly things and carnal things. And that's what religion is today. It is just as carnal as the secular world is. That's why we don't see any spiritual growth in it. You can't belong to the church and do the things that you're doing, and that's why you need the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Because he that named the name of Christ hath to depart from iniquity. Yes. You have to depart from iniquity. So you have to die to self. And we will focus on that dying to self much later, not in this message. But we will talk about that because, see, the love of this world and the passions, in other words, the familiarity with the people, that heart that we have. You've seen the flooding and the storms and things this week. Yes. We can empathize with them. We can empathize with these people. But we got to realize we have to stand strong in what God's telling and leading us, because all that's part of the way of the world. All that's been happening. It's just that we have social media and everything now. And the news and all knowledge has increased, so you see it more vividly. But all that's been going on from the foundation of the world. You have to work out your own salvation. Yes. See, in other words, you can't have a human heart or a worldly heart. You have to have a moral compass. I'm not very much a Chris Christie fan. But he was saying something this week about Ted Cruz and Cronin and some of the representatives from Texas. During the Superstorm Sandy, it was these people from a carnal way that say that they're Christians now that was saying about cutting back the budget and what the federal government shouldn't do. And they didn't want to vote for the funds for Superstorm Sandy that was in New Jersey and New York and all that. And they had said a whole lot about the funds. Chris Christie at that time says, now y'all living on the Gulf. Y'all are doing this, but sooner or later it's going to happen to you. You see, it showed their hypocrisy. And that's what I told you. This is a hypocritical nation. Now that it has happened to them, now that it's happened to Texas, oh, it's a different light. We should rush this and we should rush those things to those people. See, we all fought ourselves until it put and criticized other people until that thing happened to us. Now he said, we should help. He said, but we want to point out the moral hypocrisy of the people that you being led by. That's why I say, don't get overwhelmed with the situation. Don't allow, you have to have that three, there's two natures in you now. That secular or that human side of you, that you were of this world, but now you, if you're regenerated, being born, if you're born again and being regenerated, you have to have that empathy of Christ, but you have to think clearly that some of these people are not for us in the church that are not for us. See, it ain't let's say kumbaya and let's pray together and we all get along. No, you're a child of the devil and we're not gonna get together on all this. You understand what I mean? I'm going to do what you will do as what affects the government or what affects it the right way. But that's a mark on you. Now I see who you is and what you are. See, as a child of God, you can't get caught up in the situation. God has allowed you to see who that person is, a different individual. That's what pressure does. Pressure allows you to see your wife for what she is. Pressure allow you to see your children for what they are. Your friends and everything else. God will put a situation that opens up your eyes to what's going on. Yeah. Unless you're naive and want to stay blinded. There are a lot of them, this world keeps them blind. See, sometimes some friends or something you have to come away from. Now these was good friends. They brought him to be here. But he was on his own after then. What he did with what Christ did. Was he going to die to self or die to that old way? Did he want to see better so that he can do worse? That's what a lot of us are doing. Instead of dying to self, the more we get, the worse we get. Some people, the wealthier they get, the more wealth they want. That's what addiction is. They can't separate the pleasure from the cause. And see, that's what we have to be able to do. That's why we have to die to self. You can't get hooked up on your pleasures. You have to be able to be balanced. That's what I look at sometime when I told you, when I tell you about Mr. Luther, I'll tell you about Job and a lot of different things. See, with all that's going on in our lives, we have to stay sober and vigilant and brave and not get caught up emotionally, even though it hurts. Job said, hurt me to lose all my children. He had lost 10 children at one time. But he kept perspective and he told his wife, said, now look, we can lose all this, but I can't curse God and die. I have to keep my moral integrity. Yes. See, no matter what's going on with you, Deacon, no matter what's going on with your wife and everything, don't turn your back on God. That's where a lot of people fall into financial difficulty. God allowed the situations to come up against people. They come into church or whatever, and they're so financially strapped that they can't pay tithes or offerings or whatever. And you know what that happens? The devil pulls them further down because you're still trying to save yourself instead of turning it over to God. You see what I'm saying? Stop fending for yourself and put it in God's hand. If you can't do nothing, the reason you're in the situation you're in is what you've been doing all your life. Now, I don't know why this man was blind, but when God saved him, or when God worked this miracle, instead of, ooh, I got money, I got pleasure, he should have sought God more. He took his focus off God. A lot of us take our focus off God. Even though Lazarus was raised from the dead. Did you know Lazarus still had to die again? Lazarus still died now. It was some people ready to kill Lazarus because he was a part of that miracle that Jesus had worked. You see, that's why I say signs and miracles and things, that don't save you. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why regeneration is him coming and giving you new life. He gives you of his spirit. But that can't happen unless you die to self. There has to be a death. That's why a lot of people get faith, and he was worried. He told Peter, he prayed for him that his faith not fail. See, situation that you're in, your faith can fail. You have to reinforce it. You have to pray unless you ran in vain that your faith not fail. You'll forsake God. So many things going around you, problem after problem, and you still not trusting God. You trying to work this thing out. Your faith failing because you got to get that faith out of yourself and put it in God. Start doing what he told you to do. Do what he told you to do. Whatever he says do, learn to do that. You got to take your focus off this. It's like the old people used to drill discipline into children. And they used to say, you have to put the fear of God in them. Once you fear your parents, if you really fear your parents, everything you do would be in light of, you know, my parents caught me, or what's going to happen, I shouldn't be doing this. That's how you live. So if you live it in fear and reverence to God, you start running everything that you're doing through your mind. It's no longer by your will. It's no longer what you want. It's what God wants. His will be done. And see, that's why a lot of us in the shape we are in today, young people, and when I say young people, I mean in their 50s and 60s, don't have as much energy as people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Why? Because they're not trusting God. He can't heal you. But what are you doing for God? You expecting God to do it all. You have a spirit of fear. That fear comes from a guilty conscience. You know, like a child do something, and the parent come around, he's always trying to hide it, or he's jumpy or whatever, because he knows he's done something. If you don't have a fear conscience for God, you need to get right with God. You need to get that out of your mind. Listen at this. John, this death. John, the 12th chapter of John, the 24th through the 25th verse. He said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. In other words, in this life, if you standing for yourself and can fend for yourself, you're going to be alone in this world. You're going to think you got friends or whatever. But those friends will leave you at the worst possible time. The time you count on your children to grow up and help you, that's when they go. The time you count on a spouse or whatever, that's when they let you down. That's when they divorce. That's when they die out. That's when something happens. Or God ties their hands to what he can. You hadn't put your trust and confidence in God. See, that's where you have to die to self and look unto God. And die to the things of the world, trying to set up relationships and alliances in the world. All of it has to be transferred to God. He says, but if it dies, it produces much grain and yields a harvest. The one who loves his life eventually loses it through death. But the one who hates his life in this world and is concerned with pleasing God will keep it for life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must continually faithfully follow me without hesitation, holding steadfast to me, conforming to my example and living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of me in faith. And wherever I am, there will my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, you hear that? Now, that's a mouthful of that. That's a mouthful. Most of us not hesitatingly serving God. Most of us thinking about self. I was telling my wife, I said, well, look, things getting tight and it's not going as well in some areas as we have to. So we're going to have to sacrifice some things. We're going to have to give up some things. Because we have to, we need to put money into different things where sometimes the church is not going the way we think it should be going. So the money has to come from somewhere. So we have to start sacrificing, in other words, pulling off the things that we have pleasure in. We may have to sacrifice those things. We're going to have to start giving up so that we can have life. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are trying to please him, he's going to show you that. But what happens is, what the churches do now is they say the devil is a lie in that you can live in pleasure. So instead of denying ourselves, we go right ahead and do those things and make excuses to God. We make excuses to God instead of denying ourselves. Whereas if I have to give up DirecTV, if I have to give up Cox, if I have to give up eating out on the weekend, if I have to give up living a certain lifestyle, people say, well, no, we can do this and we can do that. And then the devil will bless you, equip you, and it moves you away from God. But what's that doing? That's giving life to the flesh. That's not mortifying the flesh. Whereas the bigger consolation would be if you gave up those things and died to them, that God would give you more friends. He would give you a stronger spiritual life, even though you would be suffering in the flesh. Yes. You have to stop pleasing the flesh. And that's what the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. We can't give up eating. Some of us, our biggest problem is our grocery bill. We eat too much as a nation. And you're not going around eating more vegetables. You're not eating less grease and fats. And that's why you're dying, and that's why you can't do anything. Is because of your belly. You live for your belly, for your pleasures of life. And a lot of people in the church are saying this, but yet still they're growing and growing, and they're not fasting. They had an article I was reading about what fasting does, and now the Bible, yes, God, you know, God knows all this, and it's already there about us denying the flesh of man. They say, you know, if you fast for 3 days, it starts your immune system to regenerate itself. It regenerates itself. See, the problem is we eat and chuckle about it, chuckle with one another. You don't have a strong partner. You know, your children are not strong, or you're not strong, or your spouse not strong. And instead of laughing with you about eating that extra ice cream, eating that pork chop, eating all that food, they laughing, you know, we just gonna have to die, we have to do this. And it's killing you. It's a joke to you. But you have to get serious about this thing. Really serious. And then at the last minute when something happened, the car is stuck on the precipice. Now you want us to pull it back off the precipice. You want everybody to get together and pray about this. It's gone over the cliff. What was you listening at when you should have been dying? You're like Dives. Lazarus laid at the feet, at the gate of Dives every day. And Dives was eating good. He died from gout or something, probably. Rich man's food disease. In other words, eating shrimp, eating luxuriously, drinking what he wanted to drink. Whereas Lazarus eating the crumbs that was falling from his table. He was on a meager diet. Dives died and he says, send Lazarus to put a little water on my tongue. Why? Because he saturated. He enjoyed the things of this life. Whereas Lazarus, he had to depend on God to sustain him. We have every kind of program it is today, and this nation is going further back. They're depending on natural regeneration. Regeneration has to be a spiritual thing, and that's why I say faith has to come first Because once you're regenerated, there's no stopping in regeneration. It's a process where you continually to grow in God. It's no turning back once God generates you. He starts that regeneration. So a lot of us that are claiming to be born again are not born again. And that's what he asked Nicodemus. He said, you a leader and a ruler of the Jews? And you don't know that you must needs be born again? In other words, you know what the word of God says. Yes. You a preacher, Nicodemus. You teach the word of God. Yes. But yet still you're not born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. I didn't say you had to know the word of God. I said you had to be born of the Spirit. There's a lot of people know the word of God. So the devils believe and tremble. That doesn't save them. Just believe it. And that's what a lot of people, they go to church on Easter, say, oh, he died for the sins of the world, and you just believe on him. Yeah, but you can bust hell wide open because you don't go to church the rest of the year. You don't follow God. You're not doing what is pleasing to God. That preacher let you off with those one or two scriptures. You should be consuming the word of God all day, every day. You should meditate on it. Your life should be changed. These storms, these floods, all this is a sign of the end time. You've done something against God, and don't try to explain this thing away. We're serving a God that you have to give account for your sins. He couldn't see clearly at first. A lot of times we come in church and we explain the scriptures away about you must hate father, sister, brother, and mother, even your own self. Stop explaining that word hate away. Hate means hate. Yes. In other words, you have to see that this is a problem for me. Now, see, y'all can't do both, can you? A lot of people don't know. You done heard of a hate-love relationship? You can hate what your children doing and still love your children. You ever hated somebody, but you was hating them because of their character, what they're doing, and you didn't hate the person? See, if you were spiritual, you would understand that. You would understand how God's going to be able to allow us to be cast into hell, all those that don't love God, because you would be miserable in the kingdom of God. You need to start understanding God. See, because we hear things, and oh, we got it. No, you don't have it either. You don't have understanding. That's why he said, he with ears to hear. He with ears to hear. Look, Jesus. Look at the book of Mark. The book of Mark. Wait a minute. Got these pages all out of order. See, we want what we want. It's the book of John, the 22nd verse of the 6th chapter. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. They was hanging around because they got food that last time. You know, they got a little place right there out of Mississippi, right on the Louisiana border, that people buy their lottery tickets. It's got favorite places that people go to party. Me and my daughter was coming home from work last night, and they had all the little full nightclubs and everything. You have a favorite watering hole. There's a lot of people that has a favorite bar or a favorite restaurant. Their favorites. There's always somewhere where you found something before, and that's what you could go do. Sometimes it's called an idiosyncrasy. In other words, you have a certain way of putting on your shoes. Mm-hmm. You have a certain way of eating your sandwiches. You have a certain way of a habit of doing something. And that's what we are, habitual creatures. We form habits. And that's what God has to do, is break us of those habits. That's what regeneration does. It creates or transforms our mind. It changes those minds or whatever. But these people, Jesus had fed them. They got free food. And once you feed somebody, that line stays full. Once you give somebody something, once somebody see you got money or something to give, You got a friend for life as long as you give them, but once you stop giving them, they're going to turn on. He says, they went there where they had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples was there where they ate at last time, they got in their boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. And they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miracles, not because of the preaching and the teaching. It's because I fed you, because I gave you something. There are a lot of people aren't, they friends of yours who want to be right because you, they can get something from you. You need to be aware of this. It's got people in it that's, it's for all they can get, and that's why they're talking and smooch up to you and say good things or nice things, but don't give it to them and see how they talk about you, how they scandalize your name. He says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give. For God the Father had given me the seal of his approval. And they replied, we want to perform good works too. Oh, that won't be our secondary thing. We want to do good works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants you. Believe in the one he has sent. You know what? What does believing entail? That's what they should have asked. See, believe entailing walking in the word of God, walking in the newness of life. You would start doing what he said do if you actually believe. I can take, you could start, if you're growing in the word of God, if you've been regenerated, you can tell the ones in church, you can tell the ones in the world that has been born again that's really seeking after God. Because the gospel is primary in their life. The word of God is first. It's the preeminence in their life. Luke, the 4th chapter, the 42nd through the 44th verse, he told them the same thing. And when it was day, he departed and he went into the desert and stayed there, and they stayed with him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogue. Until you start to see this, until you start to see that your eternal life is based on you being renewed in the spirit daily. The only way to see that is that Christ give you life. Now, listen closely. If this is not happening in your life, you need to study the word of God, you need to pray to God, and you need to attempt to do the word of God. Now, let me tell you this. Now, you will be doing that in your own flesh and in your own power, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. That's what Cornelius did. He was a worshiper of God. So in the church, you may be giving to God. You may be doing works of God, and it doesn't seem like you can catch a break. But you have to not grow weary of well-doing and keep pressing on, pressing on, and the daylight will shine. The daylight will shine. And it will come a time when Christ births you into his family, and that's why I say it. Faith has to go first. Abraham persisted in faith for 25 to 30 some years before he seen the fruition of the promise of God of the child Isaac. See, because he was already wealthy before God made the promise to him. See, money can't be your centerpiece. Or when you start to get money, you won't ever be satisfied with more money because you always would want more. But if you have Jesus Christ, you learn to be content with such that you have, and your work is in pleasing him, and you could lay down and have a good day's rest even though you hadn't did anything, but that you helped your neighbor, that you talked with somebody, or that you was able to do something for someone else, not yourself. If you're laying down and contemplating what you've done for yourself, or patting your stomach, oh, I had a nice thing of food, you're still self-centered. The Spirit of God reaches out. What have I did? Have I pleased God? God is in your utmost thoughts and not yourself. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men into it. Now, once he bursts you into his family, and this is what a lot of churches and a lot of people don't realize, it's still hard. It's just that now that you feel Jesus bearing the burden, and you could go from trial to trial. So life's going to be hard with or without Christ. You understand that? Now, if life for some people may not be hard, things may just come to them naturally. But God's not making character in them. God's not shaping, forming character in them. Your trials and tribulations and suffering is what forms character in you, because integrity is what you are under pressure. It's what you are away from around us. So if somebody has to keep coaching you on what to do and telling you what to do, this is not being a child of God. What the Word of God does is explains what you're feeling and what you're going through and what you're desiring. That's why you feel so good reading God's Word, because a lot of times it soothes the spirit. It matches with the spirit in you, saying, yes, that's what I feel, and that's why I love God's Word. Amen. That's what makes it sweet, is that you see that that's what you are. It's not who you want to be or whatever, but that's what I am. No matter how hard you squeeze me, you will squeeze God out of me. That's the only thing that secretes God is throughout my blood. So no matter how hard you press a Christian, no matter how they stoned Stephen, he still looked up and saw Jesus and said, Lord, be merciful unto them. You're not going to make me curse you. Job couldn't curse God and die because God was in him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I see him. That's how you know you're a child of God, because he's done gotten everything else out of you. He's done purged the world out of you. You're not waiting for that last big number to come. You're not waiting for that woman. You're not waiting for that man or that car or that thing that's going to tickle your flesh. You at peace. You at joy with God. No matter what you got, no matter what you have been through at that night, you lay your head on the pillow and scripture's running through your mind and it comforts you and calls you to sleep. In the midst of all your problems, he giving his beloved sleep. Because what he's doing, he's regenerating you, getting you ready for the next test. And some people wonder, how did that old lady persist with like thing after thing happened to him? How did that man keep going? All this happening to him. He got Christ in him. The hope of glory. That's why I hear a lot of people say, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. Let it choke you to death, and then once you die, and if you trust it in God, you can live again. But other than that, you can't win. The world, you can't win. You will die and leave the world here. You will die and leave problems here. But if you got Jesus, you know you'll never die.
Yes.
You'll be sleeping in Jesus.
Yes.
You have that life. And see, the thing about it, you didn't heard people saying, pray for me. Well, what's the problem? Why are you not praying for yourself? Once you ask them, say, well, look, could you join me in prayer? Your life is a life of prayer. You need to just, whenever these things come, don't allow somebody to have to bring you to Christ. You bring others to Christ. That's what Andrew was doing. He brought Peter to Christ. You be one that's always bringing somebody or telling somebody about Christ. You know what? When you stop worrying about yourself, Jesus is going to take care of you. If you start worrying about Jesus, he's going to take care of you. But if you're worried about your life, you're going to lose that life. You can pretty, and Paul says he see through a glass darkly. You can read that. Well, that's how the man did that said he couldn't see at first. Once you come into religion, once you come into the Word of God, you might not understand and you might not see. But if you one that love God and faith has works, if you just do what the Word of God say do, even though you don't understand it, you trust in and relying and adhering to what he say and do, you'll start to understand it better by and by. You'll understand it better by and by. After all these years, how many times you pick up the Bible and read something, and now I got a better understanding of what that verse said. God is speaking to me through this. That's why you don't let the Word of God go, because that's your life. That's your lifeblood. That's what sustains you. That's what keeps you. And see, the regenerating effect that brings forth more kernels of seed. It says, unless a seed falls in the ground and dies, it abided alone. It says, but if it died, it bringeth forth much fruit. Once you start living that way, you'll do as I see. What do you see? Don't you see God throughout the whole earth bringing the world in subjection to him? That you see there be more with us than against us? See, the reason a lot of people have a bleak outlook on the world and a bleak outlook in life, they don't see God. They don't see God. With all the hurricanes and storms and things, there are a lot of people who won't leave their home. A lot of people are so depressed. And that's all they do is keep other people depressed. Do you want a depressed person around you? No. Depression, it's always this. If you start meeting people with a smile, meeting people with joy, meeting people with your God, and when you smile, it says the world smiles back at you. And they want to know what's going on. How can you be joyous at a time like this? And my God's in control. We know how this thing ends. We know how it is. He's called me to see. I couldn't see clearly at first. I couldn't see 20 years ago. But each day I saw better and better. Since I've been coming to this church, somebody said, since I've been coming here 5 years ago, Pastor, I can see, I understand much more now. Because we have to buckle down and study the Word of God, see how it applies to us. And stop trying to figure it out for somebody else's life. Stop pointing at somebody else's life. What God's doing to you. What he's trying to get crossed into your thick skull.
Amen.
Problems. Problems is looking for a solution. But can I tell you, God has all the solutions. And in him, if you trust in him, because you're sinning if you don't. He says, see that you be not worried. See that you be not troubled. All those are sins. That's why he tell you, be not worried. Be not soon with anxieties and cares of this life. For he cares for you. So, what have we learned today? That we can live. We can be regenerated through the flesh.
Yes.
But it doesn't give us life. That we can't grow from that. But that if we die for God, if we seek him to regenerate us and for him to give us life, that's what he does. We have to cut loose the world. We have to stop thinking how to supply for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to give you wisdom to exist. That's an absurdity. You understand what I'm saying? If you're carnal, and if God hadn't changed you all you're looking to do is criticize spiritual people, and that's what prejudices used to do. That's what racial prejudice and things do. You criticize and talk about things you don't understand or that you don't know. The reason people talk about Christianity, the reason people talk about Jesus Christ, they don't know him or don't understand him. And that's why their lives are always carnal. And the Bible is not written to carnal man. They can't understand it because they must need to be born again. That's why I keep telling you, you have to be born again. And if you hadn't had that experience that starts to regenerate you, you need to pray to God. You need to seek after God. And he that believeth and is baptized, he says. In other words, that God brings into his family, he will give eternal life. Now, if you don't have that feeling, and stop, don't fool yourself. If it's not there, don't hate me and men say this and knowing otherwise when you get out of here. You have to go home. Everywhere you have to do, you have to keep Jesus in your forethought and in your mind. And stop doing what you used to do. But you can't do that without faith and trusting that he will stop you. Understand what I'm saying? That's why I say faith has to come first.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to strengthen us in your word, Lord God.